Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Because have you noticed, have you ever been at the height of your glory? Have you ever been at a time where everything seemed to be going right in your life, and then all of a sudden, it came crashing down? Have you ever experienced that? That's a tough time. That's a very, very tough time, isn't it? And so I was remembering this one story that happened, and I want to approach this particular portion of Scripture today. But back in the 2002 season, I don't know if you remember 2002, but there was a football team. Kansas City Chiefs were playing at the season opener against the 2002 season. Kansas City Chiefs were going against the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, we got a couple of Chiefs in our worship team fans here. And at the last play of the game, it appeared there was a defenseman named Dwayne Rudd. And Dwayne Rudd thought that he had sacked the Kansas City Chief quarterback, who was Trent Green at the time. And Trent Green was running around. He was in the grasp of Dwayne Rudd. And as it looked like he was going down, he flipped the ball, and it was a lateral. Rudd thought that he had tackled the quarterback to end the game. And he ran off, and he threw his helmet in the air. However, the ball was still going. Another player took it and ran around and ran out of bounds. Rudd thought the whole game was over. Through his helmet in celebration, he was fined an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that was assessed, and it gave the Chiefs a short field goal, and they won the game. It looked like everything was over. For Rudd, this was a devastating, devastating time. It wasn't his only incident, but this was really devastating for him and for the Chiefs. What a way to start a season, you know, this kind of miracle. So I want to just kind of remember that as we look in the book of Joshua here today. Looks at Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. This is a very familiar Bible story. The children of Israel are coming out of the wilderness into the promised land. They had consecrated themselves, and they are facing their first really large obstacle, Jericho. This is this towering fortress that now blocks their access into the promised land. And we've seen a complete turnover in the generation of people who died in the wilderness because they refused to believe God, save Joshua and Caleb. Everyone else in the children of Israel, a whole generation died out because they refused to believe and trust God. And so we pick up the story here, imposing in this fortress here, Joshua 6, 1 through 5. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said, who said, gang? The Lord. The Lord said to Joshua, see, comma, I have given Jericho into your hand. At this point, Jericho had not been given into his hand. So look, I've given Jericho into your hand with its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets, and when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. All right. So here we have a very interesting thing. Basically, God's strategy here appears to be that they're going to march around a city 13 times. I know the seventh day, they definitely got their steps in. Okay? Their little Fitbits were saying, you have accomplished your goal. And now, this is a great battle strategy. Blow the trumpet and shout. Would you say that that's unorthodox? Absolutely. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why? Because they're not doing much at all. Kind of like our relationship with God, okay? God does the heavy lifting, and then he empowers us simply to walk in obedience. So what is required here? Not much except faith and perseverance. Imagine what's going through in their minds about the third day. I haven't seen much happen now. All right, we'll just, you know, keep the strategy. Just keep marching around. People in the walls. I mean, who knows what's going on? Imagine you're in Jericho and you're sitting there and people are just marching around. What are they doing? I don't know. Look kind of silly to me. But you know what? We've got these thick, these massive walls. You see, that's what we think the strategy was. But I want to tell you, the strategy was a bit deeper. And it's something that we miss. Sometimes, my church family, I want to tell you this, and if you look in your life and you consider Jerichos that you may have in your life, I want to tell you something. Sometimes God gives us a piece of the strategy. If you're at home, just say a piece of the strategy. That's not the complete strategy, as we're going to look at in just a minute. And while we are marching in the peace of the strategy that God gives us, we have to be plugged in so that we can hear the rest of the strategy. So Joshua leads them on this parade for 6 days and that long seventh day march as they go around seven times. It was during this time that some more specifics are given. We drop down into verse 18 and we're going to see some other things, okay? It says, but keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Whoa, 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 whoa. When we think of this story, that's not one of the pieces of instruction that we think about now, is it? We think about that this was brought about, this victory was brought about because the Word of God says march around it for 6 days one time and the seventh day march around seven. So we need to march around. But that's not the only part of the strategy. And church family, there are things that God has for us to do in our lives where he gives us a little bit of the strategy. And if we get so focused on the little bit of the strategy and not the relationship with the one who has given us the strategy, we're going to miss out some very, very important parts. Some very, very important parts. Sometimes we get so focused on doing for the Lord that we miss some important instructions that he has for us along the way. I want to tell you, there are times I get so focused on sermon preparation that I can miss God's leading for me to connect with people. I can get so busy with a project, even a project at church or a project with other things going on, that I can miss his gentle leading about how to interact with a person, how to interact with somebody. And he has, I want you to know, God has the right to alter any strategy that he gives us. I'm sorry, my microphone is rebelling against me today. There we go. See, he has every right to change his strategy along the way. And I mean, if you think about this, he can edit, he can amend, he can change. And if we're not in the right place, if we're not still continuing to listen, if we're just, God, we got it. We know what you said. We can take it from here. I want you to know something, church family. You can never with God say, I can take it from here. I got it from here. Because God constantly, and I mean constantly, changes his strategy along the way. It's not that God changes. It's that he gives us what we can take. And you know what? There are times that God has given me a little bit more and I look to the very end and I forget what's going along the way. And by the way, it wasn't about conquest. This was not about conquest of Jericho. This was about deepening their relationship with him. Jericho had a treasure. It made them great. They were tremendously wealthy. They were powerful. They had military force and might. Their walls were so thick and so grand that they struck fear into opposing forces. Their walls were the cutting edge of military technology and the culmination of the science of the day. And against that, a simple strategy of marching and shouting brought them down? Yeah, because of the power of God. Okay, let's continue here. It says, otherwise, again, I'm going to read that verse 18 and 20. But keep away from the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury. So when the trumpet sounded and the people shouted at the sound of the trumpet, and when the people gave a loud shout, the walls, what does it say, church family? What does it say there? The walls did what? It didn't say the walls were knocked over. There's a difference. The walls were not knocked over. It wasn't like this. It wasn't like the people said, "Ah!" and the walls fell down. That's not the word here. The word here is collapse. In other words, they're shouting and the walls come straight down. Straight down upon themselves. So the walls collapsed. Straight down. So every man charged straight in and they took the city. This was such a powerful thing that look at Joshua 6:27. So the Lord was with Joshua and his fame was in the land. Okay? This is a very, very interesting thing here. When you hear the trumpet, shout. But he tagged that big, big, important piece, keep away from the devoted things. In other words, the treasure of Jericho cannot become your treasure. It was going for God's purposes. You don't need it for yourselves. Now, that's an odd command. But after all, as followers of Christ, my church family, we have been called to walk in a posture of faith towards our God to avoid the pitfalls of the treasures of this temporary world in which we live. We should not have the same values as the world. Okay? The world values things that quite frankly, for a follower of Christ, we shouldn't have the same things. So this is an encounter, and this is quite a story, and we read this, and we've learned it in Sunday school as little kids, perhaps, and you know, this is a powerful thing. We have learned that Joshua and Jericho is a tremendous victory of the Lord. How many of you have heard that? Oh yeah, what, Joshua and Jericho, what a tremendous victory. I would submit to you today, it is anything but a victory. Because look what happens. If we look, in actuality, this was not a complete victory at all. Okay? Joshua 7, verse 1. This is where the story takes a very serious, hard turn south. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted. What? You just marched around a city that is a military, this imposing fortress. You walked around, you did nothing except get your steps for the day and had some good cardio, and you yelled, okay? That's all that you did. The walls came straight down, and now your response to that is the people of Israel broke faith? Oh, please tell me it's not so. Here's why I know it is. Here's why I know it is. Because sometimes in the height of my glory and success, my weakness is exposed. There are times where, man, things go so well for you, and you forget God quickly. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things for making. The son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah. They took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Now, I want to tell you something. This was not a complete victory. Yes, it's a fascinating story, and yes, it tells of the power of God over the science and strategy of mankind. Okay? Because technology and science developed these walls that said nothing can knock them down. And bam, God said, you want to bet? Yes, I can. God is more powerful than all of those things. But I want to tell you, it is not a complete victory. It is not a victory unless we have fully obeyed God. Just because the wall falls down doesn't mean you're done. Just because the walls fall down does not mean you are done. Church family, we must strive to obey God's word even after the battle is over. Once God proves himself in your life, it doesn't mean that you're done. In fact, I have found that it's in those times, I gotta just be honest with you, those are the times that trip me up. Because, you know, when my life stinks and when I'm going through the really hard time, I call out to God because I'm like, I got nothing else to do. Those are the times I'm passionate. God help, God help, God help. Here's what trips up me and what trips us up. Here's what gives us trouble is when things are going good and we think, I'm blessed and highly favored of God. I got it from here. And when that little whisper gets inside of us, we don't press as passionately. We don't seek God. We just assume because we're walking in his blessing and we've seen his hand in our lives that everything is good and we've got it from here. There are some things I would say that we label as success that really are failures. I've done fun. You know what? I get vulnerable. I don't know about the rest of you, but I get vulnerable in the times of victory. Satan can sneak in and tempt us to get off track. In fact, if we're honest with ourselves, church family, many of life's seemingly greatest victories can actually have pieces of failure mixed within them. What's our response to God? Here's a question for us all. What is your response to God once you think you don't need him? Are you following as closely? Are you getting lax in your dedication? Do we help ourselves to some of God's work? Because after all, this is pretty crazy. Can we really stand on the podium of success in some area of our life and all of a sudden another area falls apart? To me, it's amazing when you look at some of these sports figures that have, fantastic fortunes. They are at the pinnacle of success and then inside their life is falling apart. I remember reading a Sports Illustrated magazine several years ago, and it was interviewing some quarterbacks after they had won the, this was an online version, after they had won the Super Bowl. And so some of these quarterbacks enter a depression afterwards because they think, well, now is what? And then some of their weaknesses in their life get exposed. In fact, a couple of them, this was an opportunity for them to actually turn to Christ. Be careful, church family, what you call success. Because Jericho was not the only thing that fell that day. Jericho was not the only thing. You can click that. Jericho was not the only thing that fell that day. So be careful what you call success. I'll remind you what Samuel's word in 1 Samuel 16:7. For the Lord sees not as a man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so church family, it was never about getting them through Jericho. That's not a problem for God. It was about keeping them close to him. Achan kind of acted like he did it. I mean, think about that. Think about that. God did the work, right? We just said the walls fell straight down. It wasn't that they fell over. The walls fell straight down is the word that's used. And yet God did the work and Achan helped himself to the spoils of war. After all, to the victor go the spoils. That should have gone to God. And we see this cycle throughout scripture. Be careful when things are going well. Be sure to thoroughly learn the lessons that he wants to teach us in the midst of crisis. His counsel to the children of Israel when facing Jericho was more. You see, this is what I want you to hear today. The counsel of God was not just march around for 6 days and on the seventh time take a long, long run. His counsel was to remain fully devoted to him throughout the course. And that's God's counsel for us as well. Otherwise, it's easy for us to experience seasons of greatness and victory, and our judgment lapses. It was never about getting them through Jericho. It was about keeping them close to him. I hope that we're learning that lesson through this pandemic. I hate this. I deeply dislike not being with my church family in the same room. I do not care for this at all. I want to learn the lessons that God has for us each and every day, because it's not about just getting what we want. It's about staying close and connected to God in the midst of all of these things. I've experienced this in my life. And so here's what happens in the next chapter. And this is when it comes. You see, at this point, disobedience was the only symptom. And I want to tell you, there are times in your life where you may have transgressed and everything still seems like it's okay. How many of you have ever sinned? No one's ever sinned. How many of you ever made a little mistake? Right. And you've gotten away with it for a while. Yeah. There's not a whole ton of people in here, and most of the hands have gone up. So at home, don't hit your hand on the ceiling fan, but I want you to know that's one you should have raised your hand to. At this point, disobedience was the only symptom. Not for long. Because we're all connected, and our disobedience in one area affects the family of God in another area. And I know we don't want to hear that. Oh, pastor, don't guilt me into that. It's just how it is. If we are connected with the body of Christ, we just took communion. We took communion understanding that we're part of the family of God. And I have a responsibility to my brothers and sisters. So here's what happens. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai. Now, by the way, I want to ask a question. So the breach had already happened. Now it's working itself out. In verse 2 here, who sent men from Jericho to Ai? What? Well, wait a minute, because a minute ago we have this imposing fortress and God says, go to, do I see God saying anything here? Nope. I don't see that. I don't read that. I don't see that anywhere where it says, the Lord told Joshua. I don't even see here Joshua seeking God to say, Lord, what should we do with Ai? What should we do with this city? What should we do with it? You know why? Because a breach had already happened, I believe. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth-aven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out the land. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. In other words, hey, we got this. This is what this is smacking with. We got this. When you wake up and you look at your calendar and you say, I got an easy day today. I can kind of throw back on easy street, rather than waking up each morning, praise God from whom all blessings flow. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people and they fled before the men. First of all, should this have happened? What is going on here? They just make this tremendous, what should have been victory, but it really wasn't. Now it's working out. So you see the story here. They got their rear ends kicked. This is what's troubling. This shouldn't have happened. God just crushed the walls of the arguably the greatest military complex around just when they marched and shouted in obedience. Not a lot of battle strategy here. And now their hearts, it says the last one, and the hearts of the people melted and became as water. You just saw walls drop down. You just came across the biggest force around. And God did things, and now your heart is melting like water? It's amazing to me how the God who did the miracle yesterday can seem so far away to you today. You know how this happens? When we're only interested in him getting us through tough times, and we don't value his counsel in the easy times. We are more prone to call out to God in the storm and ignore him in smooth sailing. And perhaps God wants to be God of the normal day. Perhaps God wants to be just as much God of the normal day as he is the easy day when it's not a storm. That's all. That's after all the lesson of the storm is I am is here. So what happens? We'll just sum it up. Joshua falls on his face and he cries out to God. What's going on? We sure wish that this would have happened earlier. Okay. The men who died, the 36 of them, it's something that I think that they wish that they would have called out beforehand. So Joshua does something good. He falls on his face. He says, what's going on? And God lets him know that they had taken what he had told them not to take. And they had, in fact, acted as if they brought the victory over Jericho themselves. To the victors go the spoils. And so the situation is rectified. And then God tells Joshua how to take the city. A painful lesson that should not have been. So here are just a couple observations that I will hope help us on our journey. And I've got them in three quick statements. And I'm going to start each one of them with, it is important to... So the first one, it is important, church family, it is important to not get so focused on doing for God that we forget about dwelling with him. It is so important for us to not get into doing for God. I have to understand that, church family, and we all have to. Obedience is not just about the walls falling in. It's about us remaining close to God throughout that process. And it puts us in position to hear the subtle messages of his leading to our spirit in the midst of our journey. The second thing is, it is important to rely on God just as much in the calm times as in the storms of life. We shouldn't have an autopilot feature in our walk with God. We shouldn't just have, oh, you know what? I got it from here. It shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. Like my communion cup, we shouldn't try to keep it compartmentalized that when I need God, I seek after him. And when I don't need him, I'm not as passionate in my pursuit of God. And my third thing that I believe that we can learn from this lesson in the Word of God, it is important to always remember that should we fall, he is gracious to restore. Worship team, you can come back up. You see, they fell and we fall. Failure happens. Failure is something that is a part of our life. I'm not saying we shouldn't be okay with it. We shouldn't be looking to fall. We shouldn't be looking for these chapters to happen. But I'm going to tell you, we're imperfect people. We have a sin nature that we're continuing to have crucified. We are putting on the image of Christ, and that is a process as we are continually yielding to the sanctification process that God has for us. And so when we experience the times that should we fall, run to God. You see, there's one really, really good lesson in Joshua in this. Is when this happened, he sought God. After they messed up, Joshua sought the Lord. You see, this is, as Dr. Grace shared with us just a couple weeks ago, a fantastic lesson from the life of David. When David sinned, everything seemed shut up. And so David pursued, and then finally, as David got to himself to realize that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Gang, they fell, God revealed it, and gave them an opportunity to consecrate themselves, and he does the same for us each and every day. But I pray that we would not become so comfortable. Hear me, church family. Do not become so comfortable in the grace of God that we quit pursuing him to stay close throughout. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the tremendous victories that you do bring us in life. Thank you that it's a testimony of your power and your greatness, and you are truly a great and an awesome God. And we so often do not... We're not good bearers of that image. Forgive us of that, God. I pray, God, for each one today that we would learn the lessons that you have laid out for us here in our text today as your word speaks to our heart. Lord, as we approach the Jerichos in our lives, let us not be intimidated, but let us be empowered and emboldened by your Spirit to walk in obedience, and not just obedience until the wall falls, but Lord, throughout the entire process, as we encounter new obstacles each day that pale in comparison to the one that we faced yesterday, let our passion and our dedication to you be consistent. And thank you, God, that in the times that we have fallen, you've offered us grace and you're there to restore us. Lord, help us to shorten that time as we come back to you. Thank you for your great love and your great mercy. I pray that we would grow throughout this time, this Jericho that we're facing right now, as a country, as a nation, as a community. Lord, we're relying upon you. Give us your strategy. We'll march, we'll shout, we'll blow the trumpet, we'll proceed in, but help us to walk in fulfillment to all of the way that you would have us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for the discouraged today. I pray, God, for those who just feel like their hope has been taken in so many ways. Thank you that you give us hope in you. It's renewed each day, God. Renew their strength, Lord. Let them mount up on wings like eagles. We pray in Jesus' name and all God's children say, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.